Turn back to John 11.
I have entitled this message to the intent that you may believe. The Lord says in verse 14, Lazarus is dead, graveyard dead, body in the process of decay. Lazarus is dead. Remember, the sisters of Lazarus had sent to him, "He whom you love is sick." And he was dead when they got to him with that message, and he knew it. He was already dead. Lazarus is dead. Graveyard dead. And then he says in verse 15, "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there." Now that's unusual. Glad means happy. Speaking of the death of Lazarus, "I'm glad I wasn't there." And then he gives his intention. "This is why I'm glad I was not there. To the intent that you may believe." You. We're not talking about somebody else right now. To the intent that you may believe. I realize he was speaking to the 12 disciples when he said this, but are you and I involved in that intent of the Lord? That you may believe. Is he talking about me? Is he talking about you? Turn to John chapter 20 for a moment. Verse 31. John chapter 20. Let's read in verse 30. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe." Now, we're reading what he wrote many years ago. These are written. Are you reading along with me? Are you looking at this? The very reason for this writing, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through his name. Now take what you can get. You may not be sure that you're one of the elect. Election's true. It's in the Bible. It's who God is. Election's true, and you might not be sure that you personally are one of the elect. You might not be sure that Christ died for you. And you may not feel that you're included in this. I understand that. But these things are written. Are you reading? Are you reading? Take what you can get. Are you reading? These things are written that you might believe. Believe what? Look in verse 40 of this same chapter. "Jesus saith unto her,
said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Now hear what he says. If you believe, you'll see the glory of God. Note the order. Believe first, then see. What does that mean? Believe first and then see. I will not see unless I first believe. If I first believe that there's $1 million in my checking account, and I don't doubt it, name it and claim it, I believe that there's $1 million in my checking account. If I really believe that, does that put $1 million in my checking account? No. Just as broke as I ever was. That's not what the Lord is talking about. You know, if that would be so, if I could just believe and then it would be so, that would make my faith the Savior, wouldn't it? That would make my personal faith, my ability to believe, the cause of salvation. That would be salvation by works, wouldn't it? Now, the first time this word believe is used is in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Now, I won't ask you to turn there. You can if you want, but that's when God said to Moses, see the stars? Can you count them? So shall your seed be. And Abraham believed the word of the Lord. Now, if I would have said to Abraham, Abraham, see the stars? Can you count them? No, I can't. So shall your seed be. Would he have believed me? No. If you came up to me and said that, I wouldn't believe. Here's the difference. Abraham knew who it was who was speaking to him. And he knew he was able to make what he said come to pass. It's one thing if I would say this to Abraham, Abraham wouldn't believe it. If you told Abraham this, Abraham wouldn't believe it. And he would be a fool to believe it. I don't have the power to bring this to pass. You don't have the power to bring this pass. But God does. He knew who it was that was making this promise. You see, the issue of faith is, do you know who he is? Right now, I'm not even talking about how you feel about your relationship with him, because salvation is a relationship with him. There's no question about that. But I'm not asking you about what you feel about the relationship you have with him. I'm asking you this. Do you know who he is? That is the issue. That is the content of saving faith. You see, Abraham knew that God had the power to bring to pass whatever he said. The scripture says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. You see, Abraham knew who he was. Faith is in a person. Do you understand that? What you believe is determined by who you believe. That's what Peter said when the Lord said, will you also go away? He didn't say, where would we go? He said, to whom shall we go? Faith is in a person. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Now this confession that he made in John chapter 6 is the same confession he made in Matthew chapter 16. If you turn with me there, I'd like you to look at this. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? See, there's the issue. Who am I? What do men say about me? Who do they say I am? And they said, well, they put you into pretty high cotton. Some say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. They say some very good things about you. They put you in some high company. No, they didn't. You see, there's no one like him. You know, I was looking at the word godliness in the scripture. You've heard the word. You've read it. I love the word. But somebody defined it as godlikeness. There's none like me, he said. None. And as far as that goes, the word theos, the Greek word for God, is not even in the word godliness. It means well reverent, well devout. I want to be one of these people. Don't you? Comparing him to some other man actually is blasphemous. There's none like him. Jeremiah? How do you think Jeremiah would feel if he said, well, Christ is Jeremiah? Oh, he would have cringed. He would have thought, no! But then he says in verse 14, or verse 15, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? What's your response? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, God's Messiah, God's prophet, the prophet of God, God's priest, the priest, if he brings you to God, you're saved. God's King, the one whose will must be done. This is who we say you are. This is the issue. Who is Jesus Christ? That's the only issue. That's the issue that settles all other issues. The Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. If you know, there's only one reason. He revealed it. He, the living God, revealed this to you of all people. To you. And I say unto thee, verse 18, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Is he saying he's going to build the church on the Peter? Of course not. Upon this rock, upon this confession of who I am. That is the rock upon which I will build my church. Aren't you thankful it's the Lord who built the church? And somebody says, I'm going to go out and start a church. I'm going to be a church planter. Don't talk like that. The Lord builds His church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hell itself will not be able to win against him building the church. He is going to snatch out every one of his elect, and he's going to build his church. The content of saving faith is knowing who he is and relying on who he is as all of your salvation. Let me tell you one thing I know about the thief on the cross. Now, we know he was saved because the Lord said to him, who had known him but for a little bit while his time on the cross, he said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." I know he's in paradise, don't you? Jesus Christ said, "You're going to be there with me today." Now, let me tell you something I know about this thief. He knew who Jesus Christ was. That's everything in his faith. Now, when he went to the cross, he didn't know who he was. He was cursing him. He was swearing at him. He was making fun of him along with the other thief. But something happened. And all of a sudden, he knew who Jesus Christ was. He knew he was God. Don't you fear God? He knew he was getting exactly what he deserved. He knew Jesus Christ had never sinned. This man has done nothing amiss. How did he know? Because he knew who he was. If you know who he is, you know he's incapable of sin, don't you? Well, he could have sinned. No, he couldn't. If he could have, he's not immutable. This man had done nothing amiss. He knew he would come back as a reigning king. Remember me when you come back in your kingdom. He knew he wouldn't stay on that cross. How did he know all that stuff? Because he knew who he was. That is the only issue. Who is Jesus Christ? He knew he was the Lord. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What about the Roman centurion? You know, he began that day business as usual. Time for me to crucify one of the enemies of the state. That was his job. He began that day business as usual. He presided over the death of Christ. He was telling everybody what to do. You nail here and you nail. He was telling them what to do. By the time the Lord cried out, "It is finished." And he saw everything that took place. He heard all seven sayings of the Savior from the cross. He said, "Surely, this man is the Son of God." He knew who he was. Now look back in John chapter 11, verse 23. Jesus saith unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." And that's his promise. "And Martha said unto him, I know that he's to rise again in the resurrection of the last day." I already know that. I believe the doctrine concerning the resurrection on the last day. I'm sure the Lord had taught him that. He taught him about what was going to take place. You know, it's always been in the Scripture. Look in Job, the oldest book in the Bible. Job speaks of, "In my flesh I shall see God. After worms have destroyed my body, yet it's going to be raised up, and in my flesh I shall see God." Martha says, "I know the doctrinal teaching of the resurrection. I've got that down." Now, you can believe that there will be a resurrection on the last day, and you can believe the truthfulness of the propositions of the gospel, like the devils. They believe in monotheism. They know that there's only one God, and they tremble. They believe in certain propositions and count them to be true. But look what the Lord says in verse 25. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection." Resurrection is not just an event. I am the resurrection. Now, I'm sure there were other people who might have heard this thought, "What? He's saying that he himself is the resurrection?" Yes. "I am the resurrection and the life." It's my life that is your only hope of being saved. My life. You're going to have my life when you stand before God in judgment, or you won't be saved. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Don't you love when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? No man cometh to the Father but by me. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me. You see, faith is in this person. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, note the order. You live, you believe. You don't believe and then live. You live. God begets you and gives you life, and you believe. He that believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I know you're straight on the resurrection, but do you believe my person? Do you believe that I am the resurrection, that my life is the only life that God will accept? Do you believe this? And then she gives the very heart and soul of and the content of saving faith. She saith unto him, Yea, Lord. Do you say that? When you hear him say, I am the resurrection, I am the life, do you believe this? Yea, Lord. I sure enough do. Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. I believe you're the Christ, God's Messiah, the Son of God, God the Son, the uncreated, eternal Son of God, the Creator of the universe. I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God that should come into the world. I believe that you're the great I Am. If you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sins, the Lord said. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God that should come into the world. I love that language. He should come into the world. You see, he was before he ever came into the world. The eternal Son of God. He came into the world. She believed that God, his Father, sent him into the world. Do you believe? Do you believe he was before he ever came? The eternal, uncreated, only begotten Son of God, the sole representative of the being of the one who sent him, God the Son. Do you believe he is the resurrection? Do you believe he is the life? Do you believe that he's the one who should come into the world because his Father sent him? He said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Do you believe the Father sent him? Do you believe he did what the Father sent him to do? You see, if you believe him, you believe he's incapable of failure. He can't attempt to do something. Whatever it was the Father sent him to do, he did. Summarized by these words, it is finished. Whatever it was the Father sent him to do, he finished it. John chapter 17 verse 4 says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work that thou gavest me to do. Look in verse 40 of John chapter 6. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son. You see who I am. Everyone who sees who I am. The Son. The Son of God. Oh, he's the Son of God. He's the second person of the Trinity. He's the Creator of the universe. God the Son. Everyone. I don't care who you are. If you see who He is, this is the issue. Do you know who He is? Everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on Him. Now here's one thing that you will do if you see who He is. You will believe. I mean, you don't choose to believe. You believe because you see who He is. This is what faith is. It's knowing who He is. It's believing who He is. Everyone. Put yourself in that group. Do you see who He is? Do you? Everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on Him should have everlasting life. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe. Don't you love that word? Not work. Not do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What must we do that we might work the works of God? They asked Him in John chapter 6, verse 28. He answers in verse 29, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. There were two blind men who came to Christ. They said, Son of David. They knew who He was. He's the Son of David. He's the promised Messiah. He's David's Lord. Yes, He's the Son of David. He's David's Lord. They knew who He was. That's the issue. They knew who He was. Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And the Lord said, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yea, Lord. You see, they knew who He was. This wasn't about them. This was about Him. They knew. Do you believe He's able to save you without any help from you? Do you believe He's able? I know, Paul said, whom I have believed. He didn't say, I know what I believed. He said, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him, the salvation of my soul, against that day. When the Lord spake of Holy Spirit conviction, He said He would convince, speaking of the coming of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, He said when He has come, He will convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin. Now here's what true conviction of sin is. Because they believe not on Me. Now when God the Holy Spirit has convicted you of your sin, first thing you find out is you can't believe. And that's your crime. That's your crime. The worst possible thing that could be said about me or you is that we don't believe on the name of the Son of God. That's your crime. And when you find out you can't believe, that's when you believe. Everybody who finds out they can't believe, you know what they do? They believe. You see, then, that's the faith. It's the gift of God's grace. And not the product of your works and your effort and your decision and your will. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Believing is the evidence of election. Acts chapter 13, verse 48, at the end of Paul's first recorded sermon, go back and read it sometime this week in Acts chapter 13. That's the first recorded sermon of Paul. And I love the way Luke records this. After that sermon was over, Luke tells us, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. That's the evidence of election. That you believe the gospel. Not that there's an E on your forehead, but that you believe the gospel. Believing is the evidence of being one of His sheep. He said,
You believe not because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, sheep believe. That's what they do. They believe who he is.
The Lord said to the man that had been born blind, he asked this simple question, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And this man asked an appropriate question, "Who is he that I may believe?" You see, you can't know who he is unless he reveals himself to you. Nobody's just going to know who he is. The only way you're going to know who he is if he makes himself known. And if he makes himself known, you will know who he is. And this man asked a very appropriate question. "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe?" And the Lord said, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And you know what he said? "Lord!" That's the initial response. He's the Lord. "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him, the scripture says. Now, I probably say this once a week. Maybe somebody will hear it for the first time. You only worship an absolute sovereign. If you can manipulate him, if you can control him, if you can get him to do anything, there's no worship. You only worship one in whose hand you are, and he can do with you whatever he's pleased to do. Now, if you ever see that, worship. That's all there is to do. He's the Lord. "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Turn with me to Acts chapter 15 for a moment. Now, some men had said, "Yes, salvation is by grace." We agree with that. Salvation is in Christ. But, and whenever you hear "but," your antennas ought to go up. Something's wrong. "But you also need to be circumcised." And so they went to the church at Jerusalem. Verse 7, and when, Acts 15, verse 7, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, "Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth their hearts, bare them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did to us. And he put no difference between us and them," these Gentiles, "purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, some yoke of law, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? All it did was condemn us. Why are you trying to put it on them? But we believe." Here's our confession of faith. "We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they." We believe. That's where we begin. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be saved like they will. Those Gentile dogs, the only way they can be saved by grace. We're going to be saved the same way. And this is said in the original. It could actually read like this. We believe that we've been saved. We believe that we are being saved. And we believe that we shall be saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we believe. That's who we believe. We believe we'll be saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Paul said in Acts chapter 24, verse 14, the things they're accusing me of, I didn't do. But this I will confess to thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the law of Moses, the Psalms, the prophets, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing all things that are written. Hebrews 11:6. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. Do you believe His isness? Do you believe He is, as He says He is, in this book? Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, God forbid that I should glory. Now remember who's speaking. This is Paul, writer of Scripture. You could argue that he's the man God used more than anybody else to define the gospel. He wrote the epistles, the apostle. He said, God forbid that I should glory, that I should have any confidence in anything save the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom? Now, don't miss that. He didn't say by that cross. He said, by whom I'm crucified unto the world and the world unto me. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, to you which believe. Anybody know the rest of the verse? To you which believe, He is precious. He's all I will plead before the Father. One final scripture. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. Now the Ethiopian eunuch had asked Philip the question from Isaiah 53. Who speaketh the prophet of this? Of himself or some other man? Who's he talking about when he talks about he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, he didn't open his mouth? Is he talking about himself or is he talking about some other man? Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And what that lets me know is that during the course of this message, he talked about baptism. Baptism, there's water. The Lord has given two ordinances. Baptism and the Lord's table. Only two ordinances. And he saw this pool of water. I like the way, you know, Philip didn't say, you need to get baptized. He didn't say that. This was brought up by the eunuch. He sees this pool of water. And look what he says. Verse 36, and when they went on their way, there came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? I want to know if there's a reason why I should not be baptized. Give me a reason. I can think of plenty of reasons in myself. I mean, it makes me nervous. I don't know whether I ought to do it. I don't know whether... give me a reason. Tell me why I shouldn't be. And Philip said, well, if your life's right, if you've got things straightened out, don't do it until you take care of this and quit doing this and start doing that. Then you can be baptized. one thing he says. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is the content of saving faith. Who he is. When that's settled, everything else almost becomes a moot point. Who is Jesus Christ? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, don't miss this. He didn't say, I believe I'm saved. He didn't say, I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe who he is. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. The Lord said, I was happy. I wasn't there. And here's my intent, that you might believe. May God enable me and you to be these believing ones. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in Christ's name that everybody in this room, by your divine grace, might be enabled to believe who your Son is and to trust him only. Lord, work that in us for his name's sake. Pass us not for his name's sake. In his name we pray.